It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna podcast. How are you today, Shauna?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well. My son, Bo, who listens to the podcast via CastBox, the app CastBox, because you can listen to all different kinds of apps. I think most people listen on Spotify. Hmm. Quite a few on Apple Podcasts. That's what I use. But Bo and Brigham use CastBox because it goes all the way back to episode one.
Right.
And the other apps don't really do that. But Bo is asking if anybody who's using CastBox could leave a review, because there's only two for our podcast on there right now.
Amazing.
And it's interesting. With CastBox, you can click, like, someone who has left a review and see what else they're listening to.
That's cool.
And you can, like, keep kind of going that way and build this sort of web of other podcasts that are of interest.
Yeah.
I guess, which is
That's fairly cool. Yeah.
But some of those old episodes, man, like, it was years ago for us.
Yeah.
And I have no recollection of talking about some of these things.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
Like, I'll come into their, like, DeBo's bedroom and talk him in, and he's got an old podcast on from, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm like, I don't remember saying any of this.
Wow.
Like, if you
weird.
Put me under oath in court and said, did you ever say this on the air? I would say, not to my recollection. And then you could play the clip for me, and I'd be like, I still don't remember it.
Yep.
But that's clearly me.
Nope. So, I have a terrible memory, too. I don't remember what we said last month sometimes. So, yeah, it's fine.
Sometimes we'll send each other ideas.
Like, we talked,
we just did
this.
That.
Yeah. Oh, right.
There's just so much talking.
A lot of content.
A lot of talking.
A lot of content every day. Yeah.
So if you've been through all 1,647 episodes, that is pretty impressive.
God bless you.
Thank you for your loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
On today's show, it's a heritage moment because it's Wednesday. We're going to talk about a very famous cowboy from Calgary's past, something pretty incredible that he did. Another one of these slang terms that the kids are using. Pretty funny baseball interview that happened just recently. Sean, I need your opinion on an article of clothing that I have now.
Okay.
I don't know whether or not I should be wearing
this.
I'll be honest. Another story from another cheap friend of ours. Unbelievably cheap.
Oh my God.
We're going to pitch the CBC a couple of show ideas.
Yep.
Something I didn't know you could be allergic to. This is the strangest allergy I've ever heard of.
It is, yeah.
That and more after your out-of-context clip.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was listening to the new album from our friend JJ Shiplett yesterday.
Yeah.
JJ's a local guy, very good musician. And I hadn't listened to this new album yet, but one of the songs, it's this like quite a kind of beautiful love song. And then and out of nowhere, he takes a shot at the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay.
So I got to play this clip for you.
You promised to yourself and all the things you're making up. You'd stop carrying this all around one day when the Leafs win the cup. And that's a long time to wait, like Marty used to say. If the best of you is
so funny.
That's just beautiful.
In the middle of this heartfelt song, heartfelt lyrics,
mm-hmm.
The Leafs catch a few strays.
Hey, you know, it's true. It's true.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Yesterday, I learned about the astronaut named Harrison Schmitt Beckler. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of him?
I want to say he was the last person on the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a part of the Apollo 17 mission. So
okay.
He landed on the moon December 11th, 1972. And he was a geologist. So he was responsible for collecting samples from the moon. And he did that. And then he tracked some lunar dust into the lunar module. And it was like on his suit and that kind of thing. And then he had an allergic reaction to it.
To moon dust.
To moon dust. So he got all puffy and red-eyed and sneezy, and it turns out he was allergic to the moon.
I did not know you could be allergic to the moon.
No.
And I guess most people would never run into that problem.
He is allergic to the moon. That's what he found out after being on the moon. Now, I have to be honest with you.
He's got
to
be the only person in history who knows that.
Knows that, yeah. I mean, many people could be allergic to the moon,
yeah.
But we would never know. He does, and he found out. Astronauts... they're truly the most impressive specimen. Like when we talk about astronauts, you look up to them and worship. I do. I essentially worship them. I'm like, you are all just unbelievable humans. Being allergic to the moon takes you down a couple pegs for me.
A little less cool, you think?
Just a little less cool. Like, I envisioned him coming back to Earth and everybody's, you know, really excited about the fact that he was on the moon and wants to worship, and he's just red and puffy eyed and just sneezy and he's trying to talk. He's like, I can't talk right now, I'm small. It takes it down a little bit for me.
So funny.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Well, at least now that when he got back, it's not a problem he would run into again, I imagine.
I guess so, you know?
It's not like you're going to be at a dinner party and you're like, oh no, is there moon in this? I can't have moon.
That's true.
Uh-oh.
Do you have any
allergies? Did you bring my EpiPen?
Although, to be fair, if you are an astronaut, okay, and you are allergic to the moon, and somebody asks, and you know, what are you allergic to? Moon.
The moon?
I'm the moon, and I know firsthand I was on the moon.
At the doctor's office? Do you have any allergies?
Yeah, moon.
Other than moon, no.
Sir, get the frig out of here.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Man, CBC has some weird shows out right now. I don't watch much CBC anymore these days, but I've had it on for the NHL playoffs.
Of course, yeah.
And they're advertising the other shows on the network and on CBC Gem and that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this one, Race Against the Tide?
No.
So it's a show that pits teams of professional sandcastle builders against each other in the Bay of Fundy.
Okay.
And it's hosted by Maestro Fresh Wes.
Oh,
Canadian rap legend.
I remember hearing him interviewed about this and being very confused.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what? Well, okay. Uh-huh. That's strange.
I don't know. What an odd combination.
Yeah. Oh, weird. Why? Anyway. Yeah.
I swear this is how CBC comes up with their programming. They have like three buckets. They have like famous Canadian person, scenario, geographic location in Canada. And they just pull things out and they're like, okay, Bay of Fundy, sandcastles, Maestro Fresh West. We got a show.
Yep.
We got a show here.
I was thinking it was giant wheels. Like I was envisioning Wheel of Fortune wheels and they do it that way. But no, you're right. It's buckets. That's more practical.
Same concept.
Yeah. But,
so that's what we've done here.
Yes, we do.
You and I have three buckets.
We do.
Person, scenario, geographic location in Canada. Yep. We've each contributed some ideas to it.
We have.
Let's pitch some CBC shows here, Sean.
Okay. I'm going to dip into the person first.
Okay. Who do we got?
We have Chantal Kravyatic.
Okay, Chantal Kravyatic.
Okay, the scenario.
Canadian singer.
Yeah. Is a curling bonspiel.
Okay, she's at a curling bonspiel.
Yeah, in.
Where is this happening?
Dawson City, Yukon.
Look at that. We got ourselves
perfect.
A show.
Chantal, that sounds great.
Flies up there. She performs. She interviews some
100%.
Of the curlers. We got a show. Let's make another one.
Okay.
Keep it going.
Let's see here.
We got funding for it.
Yeah, we do. Randy from Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Randy Bobandy.
Randy Bobandy. He's in.
What's he doing?
He's doing RCMP musical ride.
Okay. He's participating in the RCMP ride.
That probably wouldn't go so hot for him.
He's shirtless
and
on a horse.
We're in Cavendish PEI.
Look at that. That's a show.
That's beautiful.
We got ourselves a CBC show.
That's great. Should we do one more?
Let's do one more.
Okay. Yeah. Just why not?
Got to round out the evening programming here.
The original Anne of Green Gables.
Okay. What's she up to?
What's she doing?
What misadventures is she getting up to?
Let's see. She's at the annual fishing derby.
Okay. And that's happening.
And that's in West Edmonton Mall.
Yeah. Fishing in the pond with the big ship. That's a CBC show right there.
That's riveting.
It's going to be a hit.
That.
Tens of people will watch that.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We were talking about a friend of ours, a very cheap man yesterday.
Incredibly cheap.
And how he takes those bonus little liquor bottles off the big bottles, and then he loads them up in what he calls the mini bottle Christmas tree. And then he goes to the front and he just takes all that free booze. Anyway, if you thought that was cheap, Beckler, I've got another one for you.
Same guy?
This is another friend of mine.
Oh.
He told me about the cheapest moment of his life, and I think he's now maybe potentially, this is how bad it is, rivaling the cheapest man alive that we already have talked about. So let me just get into it here. He was still trying to woo his wife at this time. And I guess his best friend was bragging about staying at the super nice hotel, and the room cost, he said, $1,800 a night to stay there. So my friend was like, damn, I need to one-up this guy, and I want to impress my wife all at the same time, but I'm unbelievably cheap. So he decides first to change his email signature to be a local media personality.
Okay.
He thought that this would maybe get him more clout. So he started like that. He pretended to be on a major morning show in the city, in fact. So that's how he started.
That usually doesn't work.
No. Nope.
I often sign up for things with my work email and no one.
Definitely does not, by
no
the
cares.
Way. But He then emails this hotel and he explains that he plans to propose to his girlfriend at their hotel that weekend. And he was asking if there was anything they could do. So they responded. They were very excited. They said, oh, yes, you know what? We're going to get you this big suite for a third the price. Mm-hmm. So he got it for like $350. So yeah, less than a third, just a very, very cheap price for based on what it was. So he
there was a proposal at the end of this.
Well, this is the thing. They then asked what his plans were for the proposal, where he was going to do it and all that. And he was like, well, we're going to do it at, he looked, okay, did research, found the most expensive restaurant that they have at this mm-hmm. resort. He said, we're going to do it at that restaurant. So of course they know all this. And then they said, what time? We'll make sure it's all. So here they go, okay, to this restaurant. They get all this free food. They're giving free champagne, all this stuff, gearing up, being like, this proposal is going to happen. And then he did. He got down on one knee and he faked the proposal. He didn't actually propose. He faked the proposal to her. He told her to take the ring off beforehand so that it would look believable. And then he just slipped back this ring that she had on the finger and put it on.
You said it was his wife. They're already married.
No, sorry. They are now.
Oh, okay.
They weren't at this time. He was still trying to woo her at this point. They weren't married yet.
So was she in on the fake proposal?
Yeah. He gave her the heads up after all the initial stuff, okay, and this amazing room and stuff. And then he said, look.
She's as bad as he is.
Yes.
They're both so
she
cheap.
She is. And it's because the two of them are a cheap couple, and they both are open. And clearly, because if somebody had said that to me and was like, by the way, I got this cheap room and we're getting all this free food, but you have to like let me fake propose. I think I'd be like, I'm okay. I'm good. But she went along with the whole thing.
Wow. Well, then they're meant to be together.
I guess
they
so. Are gonna go it was life meant to and... be. So it's a beautiful, cheap story. It's a beautiful, cheap love story at the end.
Yeah.
But
all kinds of cheap escapades.
My
that they're
God,
gonna...
did the stuff that he pulled to get like changing the email signature and then lying about a proposal and then getting all this free and then doing the proposal in front of the other people at the restaurant. Like that's.
Yeah, no embarrassment or anything, eh?
Next level. So there you go.
To be that cheap, you really do need to shed all embarrassment. And it sounds like these two have done that.
And it's true. If you're that cheap, then you do have to find somebody who's okay with that because you can't just go about life that...
Yeah, a regular person would die in that situation. Mm-hmm. But she's like, let's do it.
I'm going home. She's like, for free caviar, I'm in.
She's like, we should say I'm sick too. We should say I'm terminally ill. Oh, I love it.
This is my make-a-wish.
Oh, you're so cheap. Cheap to me. The Beckler and Shauna podcast. Some friends invited McKenna and I to this thing that we didn't really want to go to.
Fair.
We like these friends just fine.
Yep.
But this thing definitely wasn't our kind of thing. Hmm. And we were deciding on an excuse, and McKenna said, what if we just said we didn't want to? I was like, man, that's got to be a really good friend for you to just straight up tell him you don't want to. Wouldn't you say?
You know.
To be that honest?
Yeah, I'm creeping closer and closer to doing that, though.
Are you?
As I get older.
With everybody or just with very specific friends?
With everyone.
Ah.
Because I've realized that there's so little time that I'm actually in town now that when I have the one free night, I want to do what I really want to do, mm-hmm. which sounds awful. But there's been a few things recently, actually, where I'm like, I want to tell this person I don't want to go.
So did you tell them that or did you come up with an excuse?
Indirectly, there's a couple times where I said, I'm just too tired. But then, of course, you can't do anything else. Like, it's just like, I just need time to chill. And truly, I did. I was just like, I can't. I don't want to go.
Well, that's fine. Then you weren't lying.
But I used to, even in that scenario, go, right? No matter how tired or exhausted or whatever, I would go because I felt that obligation. I'd be like, no, I've got to go. Just make it happen. And I'm getting a lot more comfortable with not doing that. I'm just like, I'm too tired. I can't do it today.
Well, that's fine. If you're too tired, you're too tired.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just don't want to, if you want to do something else, to just say, no, I'd rather do something else. I don't know if I'm that close with anyone.
I know.
I don't know that's if there's tough. Anybody that I could say that to. McKenna said she could probably say that to her sisters. She'd probably just straight up tell them if she didn't want to do something, if she didn't think it sounded like fun.
Totally.
Or
that would be about it, though. You're right. Family.
One of my best friends growing up was super blunt like that. I would call him and say, hey, man, you want to do this? And he'd be like, not right now.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it kind of stung, but it was also kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, he's not lying or anything. He'd just be like, no.
I think we should be more comfortable doing that because truly,
I think everybody feels that way.
Yeah.
But I still think there would be a lot of hurt feelings. Like I even said to McKenna, we had a few couples over last weekend and I said, what if one of them had just said, nah, we don't want to come. Would you have been hurt? And she said, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I was like, so it's nice in theory.
Yeah.
But when it actually lands on you, if there's like something you're excited about and your friend's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I just don't want to.
That's fair. I know.
I mean, it would be nice if we could live in a world where, frankly, declining an invitation like that was the norm. But
it's funny,
I think,
and we've talked about this before, though, but there are a lot of other cultures where they are far more blunt than they are here, and that probably does happen a lot more.
Yeah, we're fairly polite, aren't we?
We're far too polite here, and we, I think, do a lot of things we don't want to do because we don't want to hurt feelings, where you go to some European cities, and they're pretty blunt.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to.
Okay.
No.
Thank you for your honesty.
No.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
You know, I don't think I would be super offended if someone said they just didn't feel like coming to something I had invited them to.
No.
What really drives me nuts is when people say they're going to come and then pull out last minute.
Yes, that's like, worse. I agree.
You know, we've had a few parties where it's like 2 hours before, six people text you and say, I'm not feeling good, I can't come. It's like, you're not all not feeling good.
Yeah.
You're lying.
I know. Say it in advance for sure. And I mean, people, like, mental health is a very real thing that people will now use. And it's true, right? Because they'll just be, I'm not feeling up to going. That's it.
Yeah.
And that is a thing that is accepted now. People are like, yeah, you don't have to come. Don't come if you don't want to come. We are getting a little better that way because I think we're more used to expressing our true feelings. Like, if you're truly not up to going, people will say that now, so that's good.
Yeah, I know. I get that. I just don't feel like you should commit to something and then pull out last minute.
Oh, no, in that case.
Yeah.
I mean, again, for some
people.
Someone's
counting on you being there.
Yeah.
To bail last minute, unless, like, you're really not doing well.
Yeah.
Just because you don't feel like it.
Totally.
I don't know. Yeah. That's why I'm very hesitant to commit to anything. Like,
I know.
Someone will invite me to someone and be like, yeah, cool. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see when we get closer too. Like, I'm not going to say I'll be there and then not show up on
no,
you.
But no, for sure.
Just won't commit.
Yeah.
Which I guess is probably frustrating in its own way.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you've got a sweet setup at home, if you're like in a Shane Holmes home.
Yeah.
And it's all comfortable and designed the way you want it. Going out could be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe you're the type of person that likes to entertain and you want to...
Just stay the frig home, man. Just be like, I got a Shane Holmes home now. I'm never coming out.
Yeah, you come to my house.
Yep.
I used their affordable customization and laid this thing out perfect for entertaining.
Bring your own beer and food and come hang out here, okay?
I would, we love entertaining. I'd rather have people over than go somewhere else, given the choice, I think.
I do like entertaining, too.
Yeah, it's easier with the kids and stuff. Don't have to get a sitter. And,
totally.
Yeah. And if your house is laid out well for it, then it can be a ton of fun. And you can do that with Shane Holmes. Learn more about them at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes!
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Yesterday, Shauna, here at work, I was wearing a pair of white shorts that McKenna got me.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I was going to ask if you noticed them or not.
Yeah.
I've been easing into them as I've never had a pair of white shorts or pants before.
Mm-hmm.
McKenna got them for me as a gift. I
didn't know how I felt about them either, actually.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, because I've been incredibly skeptical about them.
Right.
But McKenna said, no, white shorts are super hot. I was like, really? She's like, oh yeah, they're your hottest shorts.
Okay.
And I was going to get your take on the white shorts.
I think I need to, because I saw them briefly and then I didn't really like look again. I'm undecided at the moment.
I was going to wear them again today, but I wore them yesterday, so I'll...
Fair. White shorts are a bit of a danger, I think, because they're great if you can keep them white. I just don't, it's very hard to keep them white. You know what I mean? Like, even sitting on a chair, even if you're inside, like, it's very easy to get them dirty and then you have an ass stain and nobody wants that. So I don't know.
If they stay clean though, you're okay with white shorts?
Yeah.
Because McKenna can assure me, she can reassure me all she wants, but I mean, we've all seen before some of the disasters that can happen when a guy only listens to his wife about what looks good. Mm-hmm. That's how we got guys who end up looking like Guy Fieri, right?
Yeah.
And no slam on Guy Fieri, but it's a tough look.
No.
Isn't it? So.
Yeah, like rhinestones on your jeans is dudes.
Exactly.
And that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The bleach tips and stuff. And the studded jeans that I think guys end up there because their girlfriend is like, oh, that's hot.
It's true. It's true. Even the Brett Wilson shirts.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's encouraged by the...
Yes. Unbuttoned, expensive collared shirts like that are unbuttoned too far. She's like, oh, you look so good like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't.
You need a couple more gold chains in there too. Yeah.
This is how we end up in these situations as fellas.
Yeah.
You have to have a little bit of independence in dressing yourself. You can't go entirely by what your wife says.
Nope, you don't. Yeah.
And I wondered if white shorts were...
I'm going to have to give them another go.
In that territory.
Okay, so if you bring them back around, I can let you know, okay?
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Friend of the show, Fred, sent us a clip from Pete Fairbanks, who is a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, and his responses to different questions and stuff that he has.
Yeah.
I love that when players actually are, you know, not the just generic sports interview where they give you nothing. Like when a player has a bit of personality, it's always way more entertaining to watch, right?
And this dude has a personality. He's a bit of an odd fellow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The way he speaks, but it's definitely entertaining.
To be fair, a lot of pitchers, I think, are kind of odd ducks, right?
Yep. They're kinda like goalies.
I was going to say, or drummers. Yeah. A little strange. So here's one that in particular made me laugh, though.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But
also, he sounds like Vince Vaughn.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's got that like way of speaking like Vince. Anyway, and then they're just...
For right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here?
So he's asked, where do you go from here?
No, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of sulk, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
16 minutes of sulk.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 16 minutes, 9:44. I'm going to give it till 10, and then, yeah. But not a specific type of suck, just it's all around suck.
Man, could you imagine if every athlete did that kind of post-game interview?
You wouldn't
miss it.
Right. That would be part of the game. You'd probably watch the interviews more so than the game itself. You maybe, you know, watch the Coles Notes version and go, okay, I want to know what they're saying after.
Yeah, and that's just such a stark contrast from how almost every athlete talks.
I know. So we need more Pete Fairbanks in the league.
I like it.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Last week on the show, we were talking about some of the slang the kids are using now.
Yeah.
What I hear when I hang out with my boys and their friends.
It's always good to stay up on the slang, the kids' slang.
Yeah, we went through a few of the terms and what they mean, and I vowed to start using it in order to make it incredibly uncool.
Yes.
And then hopefully they'll stop talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one we didn't cover, though. Do you know what gyat is? Do you know what a gyat is, Shauna?
No, I mean like a gat, like a gun?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was when we were growing up.
Yeah.
No, a gyat, G-Y-A-T-T. Is a big ass or a woman with a big ass.
Ooh.
Like, I think it's like gyat dam is how it's supposed to be.
Okay.
I believe.
I don't like that.
I know. I heard that and I was like, my boys, I was like, what are you guys talking about? What's that? Hmm. On one hand, I mean, you and I we're no strangers to slang terms for the butt.
For the ass. Nope.
So I don't know if I can really judge.
Fair.
But on the other hand, I said to the boys, I was like, don't just use a term because everybody on YouTube is using it. Have a little bit of creativity to it.
Come up
you
with
know?
Your own.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, call try it and get your own going.
Call it a swamp mat. Call it a blast furnace. Call it a chili con carne.
Yeah.
Come up with something else.
Those are good ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like them.
Call it a juice press. Call it a steam trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Call it a Wurlitzer.
Yeah. I mean, how many do we have on the list now?
I've got, I think, close to 200.
Yeah. Your Bam Bam. Your Hog's
really?
Head. A little parsley back there.
Your waste paper basket. Your Magnus for Magnuson.
Your Eye of Newt.
Really? Just explore the language.
Yeah.
Explore the space.
The seven-layer dip. The love bunker.
Seven-layer dip is a good one.
Ooh.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
An Alberta heritage moment.
One of Calgary's most famed cowboys was a man by the name of Ralph Morehouse, otherwise known as Slim. It was 99 years ago this week that Slim achieved a feat that was one for the record books.
He guided a team of 36 horses pulling 10 grain wagons across the prairies and into Calgary. It was such a spectacle that celebrities came out to watch, and Slim was tossing bags of wheat off the wagons as souvenirs for all those lining his route.
All of these horses and carts were hooked up in a long train, and Slim somehow managed to navigate the entire freight without incident. He became famous for such feats, being able to navigate big teams of horses through the prairies and city streets. In fact, when automobiles were first invented, grain wagons were the last to go, and companies were still hauling massive bushels of grain across the prairies via horse and wagon.
And Ralph Morehouse was a big part of these operations as well. The largest commercial freight hauling company at the time was from Montana, and they would take oxen teams across the prairies, pulling literal tons of freight on heavy-wheeled wagons. They would be traveling just over a mile an hour, and their motto was slow but sure.
Well, Ralph saw this and tried to outdo them. So in 1922, he enlisted all but two horses on the ranch he worked at, 30 horses total, harnessed them to 8 grain tanks, and hauled a record 1,144 bushels of wheat in one load. They traveled from Buffalo Hills to the elevators in Vulcan.
Next, he tried mules and made another record trip. This is where he gained the practice for the Calgary Stampede. In 1925, he took the world's biggest hitch down 7th and 8th Avenue as part of the Stampede Parade. That year, there was a parade daily, and Slim would take his massive freight up and down the streets every morning. He only had one incident where he turned a corner and accidentally took out a fire hydrant, pulling it entirely out of the ground.
Aside from that, Slim was a master driver who was able to navigate 30 or 40 attached horses with a skill no one could rival. Eventually, as the automobile took over, Slim was seen driving a one-horse milk cart in Calgary. From there, he retired and moved to BC.
These days, truck drivers have to steer trailers down busy city streets and tight alleyways, but the first to do it in Calgary was Slim Morehouse, whose driving ability made him a legend.
This has been an Alberta Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at X92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.